And welcome to LX2 Codependency Coaching. I am Stella. We are recording live on Luna_X2_LLC. Instagram is going to let people know that we're here, and we're just going to get started. It's been an interesting week, again. If you'll notice, I'm in a new environment. I'm in my new office on the west side of Albuquerque, and I'll just have one office moving forward. I was working downtown and in Rio Rancho, and starting I think Wednesday, I will be here in this office for as long as this office will have me. I have had an opportunity to listen to a lot of different things. We had new podcasts that I was listening to this week. Maybe not new, but I hadn't listened in a while. And so the topic kind of came to me, and I was thinking about people pleasing, because that's part of our codependency, is we'd like to not have conflict, and so we're just saying yes to all the things. But it was showing up in a different way this week as I was kind of just, you know, allowing the universe to download what I needed to talk about. And so this concept of shape shifting kind of came into my experience. I'm also listening to Thicker Than Water by Kerry Washington, which is just a really great book. And she was talking about kind of her early childhood experiences and how her parents were having a lot of conflict, and that she could hear them fighting at night and then in the morning act like nothing happened. And so that's kind of where kids start to learn how to manage themselves in a different way. So we'll start there, right? So this idea of shape-shifting kind of came to me because I recognize that in a lot of ways we start to change our behavior or change how we interact in the world based on the experiences in the environment and whatever's happening. And so I'm listening to Kerry Washington, and she's talking about how, you know, she could hear her parents fight at night. And so she started to think that if I was awake, then they wouldn't fight. And it was a curious thing. And so then she started to talk about this culture of dishonesty, or really recognizing that her parents would behave one way when she was awake and a different way when she was asleep. And so she started to integrate that she could not be her authentic, honest self in her home. And she really leaned into acting, how where she could be all different kinds of characters and, you know, portray herself in a way that was maybe more authentic than what was happening in her home. It's a really great book if you get an opportunity to listen to it. The other thing I listened to, so two podcasts. One, I listen to true crime because it's interesting and I find it very fascinating the way humans interact with each other. And so I was listening to 48 Hours podcast. And then I was listening to the Mel Robbins podcast, which I listen to occasionally. She was talking about secrets and the psychological effect of secrets. She was interviewing a researcher, Dr. Michael Slepian, on how our psychology is affected by when we hold secrets. And so this all kind of got me thinking about this idea of shape-shifting and how oftentimes when we are motivated to people-please, we have a different persona or a different, we behave differently in different environments. And so the 48 Hours podcast was Shattered Dreams, I think this one that I was listening to, about this man who had gotten arrested for bank robbery. And it was curious to me to listen to the whole story. And so I think a lot of times it's a weird thing that people do, and it's women, a lot of times women in my experience, listen to these true crime like podcasts or watch these shows like 48 Hours or Dateline or whatever. And what I know to be true from a psychological perspective is like we love the arc of beginning, middle, end, and it's tied up in a bow and somebody's arrested or however it ends. But that gives us clarity. It helps our mind kind of follow a story, and it'll be kind of scary at the beginning and, you know, something terrible happens. And then there's the whole like investigation, and then it ends. And so in that process, it ties it up in a bow and our brain feels better. I was a huge SVU fan for a long time. And it was that, right? It was like, okay, here's this terrible thing that happens. The investigation happens. They find the clues and evidence. I loved CSI, but it helps my brain do this thing. What it also helped me recognize is, so here's this man, and he gets arrested for bank robbery. And it was like so impossible for his wife and even the community that he worked and lived in to imagine that this man was a bank robber. And detaching from the delusion of like who we think someone is versus who they are. And I think it's true that we can be multiple people or multiple versions of ourselves. I talk about the versions all the time, but I also recognize that there is a deception in being our authentic selves versus like what we want people to think. And so kind of what led him to be a bank robber was that he was a, I think it's like a stock trader, and he was, doing like risky stock trading, and at one point, like he had lost all the money. But his wife and their family was accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and so he felt like he needed to do something else. And so, in that people-pleasing way, he was like, "My family is used to living like this. I cannot tell her that I've lost all the money." So he went for a desperate act of he actually multiple bank robberies, but that's how he was making money, and his wife had no idea. And so when he finally got arrested, she was just absolutely devastated. But what struck me, two things. One, that he did not feel safe or comfortable enough telling his wife that he had lost all the money. And he continued to live this facade of, this like guy who went on vacations and had fancy cars and had a big house and never once said to her, "Hey, we are struggling. This is, we cannot maintain this lifestyle." Instead of doing that, he did this other thing, this illegal thing where he was a bank robber. He was also the son of a law enforcement, of a cop. And so people just could not imagine that this man would do something so desperate. And again, it's that living with secrets, it's that living in deception, this concept that we hold things and we do not say in an authentic way, "Hey, I don't like this behavior," or "Hey, I am struggling," or "Hey, I need help," or "Hey, that's not who I am anymore." We just kind of keep with the status quo. And so we end up building a lot of shame and guilt inside of ourselves. And so being our authentic selves becomes really difficult, because we don't have that outlet, or we don't feel safe enough to say to the people that we love or that love us, that's not what's happening, right? And so, in listening to the Kerry Washington, she was talking about how she really embraced acting and really liked being different characters, and where she could really get deep into a character and lose herself in that. Because she couldn't be her authentic self in her home. And so this idea of shape shifting started to percolate in my brain, because I do recognize that, especially for those of us who are codependent and people pleasing, we want to just keep the status quo. We want to shove it under the rug. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to look it directly in the face. And so we comport ourselves, and we, kind of shift our personalities into whatever's going to work in the environment that we're in. Kids learn to lie pretty soon once they learn to talk. And part of it is they are avoiding a negative consequence, or they are avoiding, the adults to have a reaction that is unpleasant. And so they do it, and it's funny, haha, but it's also funny, interesting that kids will start to become whatever version of themselves to create a better environment or create a better situation. And that's uncomfortable for the adults when we're recognizing, like, "You're lying. Like, I can hear you. Like, I know the truth." When my daughter would be dishonest, I would ask her, "Hey, were you doing this thing, or you were busted," whatever. She would say the her version the first time. And I'd be like, "Keep in mind, I know all the things. Try again." And so she would tell a different version and eventually get to the truth. At a certain point, I would say to her, "Trust me when I tell you, I know the answer. So when I'm asking you, try again." And it was an interesting dance that she and I would do. And kids do it all the time. Like, it just becomes kind of second nature, especially when they don't feel comfortable being their authentic selves. And they are trying to please the adult or to minimize a negative reaction. And they don't, it's not even a conscious thought a lot of times. A lot of times it's just like whatever's going to get me out of this unfortunate or uncomfortable circumstance. A lot of times in relationship dynamics, especially when there is a lot of conflict, people will become a different version of themselves. And they will not share from an authentic place because they do not feel comfortable or safe doing that. Sometimes, especially emotionally, if I don't feel emotionally safe in an environment, I will shut down. I will be really quiet. There was a time when that was true. Today, not so much. But I do recognize that we learn that behavior pretty early. And then when we get out into the world, because we want to belong, because we want to be part of a group, or we want to minimize negative reactions, we become whatever it is that will glean us the safest situation. I think about going from middle school to high school. And I remember this idea of like when you go to a new high school, like you're brand new, you can be whatever version of yourself you want to be. And so we put on these masks, we start to that shape shift. The same is true from like elementary to middle school. Middle school is a very like tumultuous, scary place for a lot of people because we're dealing with hormones and we're trying to figure out what we like and who we like and what we are. A lot of times people will be friends in middle school and then they get to high school and they find different groups or cliques and they become other people. I was fascinated with masquerade masks when I was in middle school, a little bit in high school. I had them all over my room. And really thinking about how we put on masks to be in certain environments where, again, we minimize whatever negative influence there is. And a lot of times people will say, like, you are who you hang out with, right? Sometimes we will choose different groups or cliques where we feel more comfortable because we feel uncomfortable in our own skin. And so we'll choose friends that maybe do things that we didn't do before. And we'll be like, oh, yeah, I totally like that. Yes, I totally smoke cigarettes or whatever it is. And we do that so that we mitigate our discomfort. We start to shape shift pretty early, recognizing that I want to, minimize whatever negative interaction or whatever negative consequence or reaction I'm going to have. And so I'll start to put on a mask. Sometimes we have multiple masks in different situations. I have always said that I have straddled a lot of different cultures and environments. I grew up in the South Valley in Albuquerque, but I went to private school. And that wasn't my choice. That's where my parents sent me. And so I had these private school experiences, but I also grew up in, kind of a different kind of environment. And even in the South Valley environment that I lived in, we lived in a private double cul-de-sac where all of the kids that I grew up with went to private school, but across the street was, kind of a sketchier neighborhood. Where we would hear like gunshots and all the things. But our little haven was very different. So I grew up in the South Valley, but in two different environments. I went to private school, but I lived in an environment that was probably a little bit more economically deprived. That was always interesting to me because I could do both, right? Professionally, most of my clients will know like I behave the same way in the room as I do out in the world, but I have gotten very comfortable with my authentic self. When I was a student, the same thing. Like I was always a non-traditional student because I had my daughter when I was really young, so I was older than most of the people that I was going to school with, and so I had a different experience than they did at the time. But I could still like communicate with them and hang out with them. Most of my friends for a long time were like 10 years younger than me. I do have some friends that I like went to high school with that are like my same age, but I've been able to mingle in a lot of different environments. And now today I am my most authentic self. Like the way that I show up in the room, the way I show up in the street, the way I show up all the time is pretty much the same. I do have a filter. I can employ it. I don't always, but I do have one. I own one. And so really recognizing like in professional environments, I don't say fuck nearly as often. But I have tattoos. Like I have piercings, and I say the words that I say, and I'm a lot more comfortable and secure in who I am to be able to do that. But when we're thinking about like little kids and middle-aged, middle school kids, and even high school kids to a degree, they are learning how to switch environments. They are learning how to participate in different groups and cliques and figuring out what's okay to say and what's not okay to say, what is okay to believe in and what's not okay to believe in. I've shared with you guys like I'm a nerd. I love sci-fi movies. I read a ton of books. But I also, drink and hang out and love to go dancing. And there's a lot of different facets to who we are as human beings. And when we can embrace ourselves, loving all of our parts at the same time, we do not have to shape shift nearly as often so that we are not, robbing banks and maintaining a Range Rover lifestyle. We're allowing ourselves to be seen all of our parts at the same time. So that leads me to the next piece of really recognizing the shape shifting that we all do to a certain degree. Book is getting ready to come out. I will let you guys know when that happens. But I have spent a lot of time, a large part of my life, not being seen, not being completely emotionally vulnerable, not being able to allow myself to own my story, my truth, whatever. And in certain environments, I feel comfortable doing that. But the book is going to come out, and it's very meaty. There's a lot of me in it, and there's a lot of emotional vulnerability. And so, as it gets closer to coming out, I had this panicky moment where I was like, "Oh shit! Like I'm going to be seen in a real way." Prior to going on my trip and doing live videos and a podcast and all the things, my life was very private. And it was invite only. Like very few people knew who I was, and I would definitely not put my face as the face of Luna X2 or my work. If you got the opportunity to like make an appointment and get to know me, like that's cool, but it is not my normal to be this exposed. And yet, I do recognize that in order to not just market the book, but like market my work and do all the things, I have to be seen. And emotional vulnerability was not my normal because I didn't feel safe sharing my whole self in certain circles and certain aspects. And I would definitely shapeshift. Like, there was my group of girlfriends from high school. There were groups of friends that, I would know professionally. And then there's my core group of like people who've known me for decades. And when I went away to Europe and, was spending all this time by myself, I got to know all the different parts of myself, and I didn't feel like it was necessary to have multiple versions of me. I got very clear and integrated with all the parts of myself, and in doing so, loving each part of myself through this process. I say that because I do recognize when I start to work with clients on being their authentic self, once they're at that place of discomfort with the way that they've been living or the situation or circumstance that they've been in, they have to really look at all the parts of themselves and recognize, like, in order to feel as though I deserve or I am worthy of something better, I have to like myself. I have to choose me. And that's really difficult to do. And then I need to feel emotionally secure and s safe enough to be able to share this version of me with other people. I talk about the versions often, and you guys know that because it's really important to, again, stop deluding ourselves, but also to embrace all of our parts at the same time, to really look at even our shadow shitty behavior and go, how is that getting me to where I want to be? I was talking to a client earlier today, and we were talking about the fact that like often we will attract, old versions of the same shit and trauma that we grew up in because that feels comfortable. I've talked about, choosing the familiar hell over choosing an uncertain heaven, and being in relationships with new people, especially a new version of us, that feels really vulnerable. That feels really uncomfortable because it's like, well, I've done all this work and I'm going to go out in the world, but I still have like a fucked up past. I still have, I'm a child of divorce and I have learned all these unhealthy coping skills. Like, so what if somebody new sees me and, they're healthy, healthy. And so I was like, well, let's shift that, language. What if we choose and can engage with someone who's healing? Maybe not healthy, maybe not perfect. I don't want perfect. I'm not perfect. I am a whole hot mess a lot of the time. I would much rather meet somebody in their vulnerability and meet somebody in their healing journey than meet somebody who's like healed and zen and, guys sitting on a mountain all fucking cool. I don't want that. That doesn't sound like fun to me. But what I would like is somebody who's like, hey, I am fallible and fucked up and I say all kinds of weird and crazy things. And I want to meet you where you're at. A lot of times when we interact with new people, we kind of feel them out and try to figure out like, what are you about? What's going on? I don't want to offend you. I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. At this point, right now, today, you're gonna feel how you're gonna feel, and I'm gonna let you have a feeling over there. And if you want my insight or my perspective, you can ask. If you want to know who I am, I will tell you. I'm pretty comfortable in this version of me. But when we have, past versions of us or uncomfortable truths or things that, can spark up our shame or discomfort, we want to shut that down. I'm gonna keep that a secret. I'm not gonna tell you that right away. And I'm not gonna fire hose people with my personality right up front. But I'm gonna kind of see who you are to kind of then figure out which version of me you get, right? I'm thinking about these individuals in this podcast, right? In the podcast that I'm listening to and the things that I'm kind of putting in my brain. And I'm thinking about how uncomfortable they must be with the version of them that is showing up. How uncomfortable it is to own that you are healing, that you are in the process of growing and changing. And I'm gonna fuck it up. Like, I have shared with you guys before, almost every member of my immediate family pulled over or pulled aside my ex-husband when we were dating and said, Stella's kind of a bitch. Are you sure you want to do this? Not my favorite. And it was true. Like, and he signed up for it 100%, eyes wide open. And that is a version of me. That is a part of how I have shown up in the past. And in the 18 years we were married, he got to learn that whole bitchy version. But it was interesting at the time, like at the very beginning, when my family, my siblings, my mom, even my mom was like, she's kind of an asshole. Are you sure you want this? He said, well, I can see that, but she's not to me. Which I'm really grateful for because he was able to give me grace and patience and figure out that they were right. But you get what you give, and a lot of times we start to recognize that we don't have to hide who we are. We don't have to hold on to those secrets or those things that cause us shame or guilt, or we're not the most proud of. We can be our whole authentic selves, and we don't have to give everything to everybody all at once, right? I'm gonna get to know you first. I'm gonna get to know what you're about and how you show up, and if we align on things. And even if we don't, let's find out together. But I want to feel safe and comfortable in a relationship where I can be my authentic self and you can be your authentic self and we can see each other and, kind of hold space and connect. We don't have to always shape shift. We don't have to always like show up in a different version of ourselves. I've talked about the Sphinx effect, right? A lot of times when we have anxiety or we don't feel comfortable in social situations or certain environments, we will put on emotional Sphinx. Sphinx are shapewear that hold all your shit in, all your bulges and bumps and whatever. It's exhausting, one, to put them on, and two, when you have to hold all of yourself together in certain environments, it's exhausting. And so for my clients who maybe have social anxiety or struggle being in, really seen environments, they put on the Sphinx and they hold it all together. And they had a client who would call that her work suit. And then when she would get home, she would be exhausted. She'd just have to take it off and just kind of sit for a minute. Every time that we have to put on a different version of ourselves or shape shift into our work mode or a family mode, or if I'm in a relationship that's not helpful and I have to hold myself back, it's exhausting. and we are showing up in an inauthentic way. When I talked about being your most authentic self and owning your truth and embracing all the versions of you, it really does give you a sense of freedom if you are fully attached to yourself and truly love every version of yourself, which is hard to do. I'm not going to say like, once you do it, like it's fine. It's totally easy. It's not. It's actually really uncomfortable some of the time. But when you can fully embrace who you are, when you can show up as your silly, kind of playful, kind of a hot mess self, you're not as exhausted. It doesn't drain your battery as quickly as it does when you have to fucking hold it together and just hope that people don't see the fact that, you know, you're being held together by safety pins and gum. It is more comfortable to sit in the mess and be like, I am struggling today and I am not my best self. Can you just be patient with me? And so when you can say that to another person and they go, yeah, absolutely. Tell me what's going on, or tell me what you need. They don't rush in to fix it. They don't rush in to tell you, oh my God, you're great. Like, you'll be fine. Ah, like that doesn't feel comfortable either. So when you can just kind of sit in the, okay, today I'm a hot mess. Today I'm struggling. Today I'm super emotional. Today I'm PMSing. Today I don't know what's going on with my hormones because I'm 51 and perimenopause. I don't know what's happening today, but I do know that it's like, you know, Easter's coming up. Easter was hit and miss in my house. You just never knew what you're going to get. There were beautiful times, but there were also like some sketchy times. My dad's dad, Santiago, had died on Easter Sunday. And so my dad would get all weird, usually. Being a little kid, I didn't know what that meant. I was just like, well, we're just doing Easter things. Like, why are you being all weird? I learned later that that's what it was and how it contributed to how he showed up. And so again, having empathy and compassion and understanding, like, dad gets weird at this time of year and this is why, that made more sense as opposed to taking it on as a little kid and going, what am I doing wrong? Because dad's being weird. We start to recognize that if I live in my authentic self, if I show up as a hot mess, or I show up as my silly, ridiculous, playful self, or if I say fuck all the time, my people, the people who truly know me and see me, are going to be like, that's Stella. She's quirky. It's fine. That is one version of how I show up. I do try to embrace my whole self now, so I'm not shape-shifting, so I'm not using my energy to hide different versions of myself, to hide my emotionality, to hide all of the things that can be really uncomfortable. And I'm really well practiced at it. And so when I teach clients how to live and embrace their whole self, how to feel securely attached and to love all of their parts at the same time, they start to feel better. They start to feel more comfortable. They don't feel like they have to hide all the secrets and all the hot mess that they have experienced before now. It does not define them. It's just what you've gone through. And so when you start to go, okay, I'm going to say, hey, there was a time when I did a thing and it was not helpful and it wasn't my best self, and I got past it. I don't do that anymore. Like, that's just not how I show up. That is a coping skill I don't need to use. When you can own, yeah, I have shown people my transcripts because they're really fun to look at. I went to college right after high school. I was kicked out of college. I was on probation, and then they were like, please don't return. Awesome. Love that from my experience. Then I got pregnant, and then I tried to go back to school several times and failed out several times. And then when I finally went in and I felt found my stride, like I was able to be supported and all the things, I did really well, like Dean's List. And then when I got into graduate school, I had to write a letter. Sorry, my transcripts are kind of a mess, and I'm actually a really good fit for this program, and so please give me the opportunity to show you. And then I got into graduate school, and I did really well. And so it's fun to show clients that, if it's, you know, appropriate, because they're like, I can't go back to school. Like, I'm a hot mess. I don't even have a high school diploma. I barely have a GED, whatever it is. I'm like, let me show you something. Let me show you what it looks like to be a hot mess and successful, right? When we start to embrace all of the parts of ourselves, there's not as much shame. There's not as much guilt. There's not as much pressure to be perfect. No one is, and that's not how life works. So when you can embrace all of your parts at the same time, when you can say with emotional vulnerability, hey, I fucked up and lost all the money, you can't drive the Range Rover, then you don't feel so desperate that you have to rob a bank. When you can say, like, I don't feel comfortable telling the truth here, so maybe we work on that and start to embrace all of the parts of ourselves. Michael Sapien, Slepian, Slepian, really interesting, The Psychology of Holding Secrets. The Mel Robbins podcast, also really good. In 48 hours, like if you want to listen to true crime things, I will be on next week. Enjoy your holiday weekend if that is something you want to participate in. Remember to pay attention to your emotional battery. And if you don't want to participate in things, it's okay to change your mind. You can, you know, reduce your yes budget from 5 to 3 to 2 to I gotta go. And that's fine too. Be patient and give yourself grace. You are healing. Nobody is healed all the way. Nobody is sitting on the top of the mountains and like everything's great. Be patient with yourself. That's your nugget. I will talk to you soon. I'm going to end the video. I'm going to end the podcast. Thank you to everybody who's listening. If you want to get a hold of me, lx2.cod.coach@gmail.com. Take care. All right, we have ended the video and we are going to end the podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who participates on Instagram, who listens. The book will be coming out soon. I sent the proofs. Oh, we are getting close and it's very exciting and also just really vulnerable, but I'm very excited about it. So I will let you know when the events are going to happen, when you can get it in all the places where you get books. And I will talk to you guys soon. Have a great weekend. Take care.